Amen. How's everybody doing? Praise God. Everybody survived their first exam?
Yes, sir.
Glory, glory. I trust everybody did well. I didn't look at the grades, but I trust everybody did well on their first exam. As I stated 2 weeks ago, this class session and maybe the next one or two class sessions, we're going to take a side trail. And we're going to be talking about pride and how pride is the biggest enemy to walking in honor, because the Bible says pride goeth before the fall. So we're going to be looking at, I may have showed you the book, and I'm going to spell the author's name, then I'm going to try to pronounce it. But the name of the book is called Overcoming Pride. And the author, I'm spelling his name, first name, Guillermo. Last name, Maldonado. And you want to try to attempt that first name. Guillermo, what's that? Guillermo Maldonado. We're going to be, like I said, that's going to be the book. You don't need it, but if you want to get it, you know, it's available through Amazon or Barnes & Nobles. But anyway, let's go ahead and get off into the lesson. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name for what you're doing by your Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for the school of ministry here. We thank you for our apostle. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're learning. And Lord God, we're walking under apostolic government. And because we are walking under apostolic government, Lord, signs, wonders and manifestations are taking place in our lives and in our ministries. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Father, as always, if Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I know I'll fall flat on my face. I yield completely and totally to you. Amen. All right. The biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride. It takes its roots in what the author calls, and this is going to be a different terminology. Some of you may have heard this spirit before, but the spirit of Leviathan. I'm going to spell that. Leviathan. The biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its roots in what is called the spirit of Leviathan. The word Leviathan is actually found in the Bible. And I want to make sure that you know, we see that. Turn with me in the book, in your Bible, to the book of Isaiah. And that'll be Isaiah chapter 27 and 1. Isaiah 27 and 1. It says in Isaiah 27 and 1, it says, "In that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that corked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." So here in Isaiah 27 and 1 is talking about, in that day the Lord will with a sore and great sword, he will punish Leviathan and he will pierce the serpent. So it's calling Leviathan, and you got to look at it from a figurative point of view, a type of serpent. The author talks about him as being a type of sea creature or sea monster. And I don't want you to focus on that so much more than the fact that Leviathan is a spirit. And that spirit takes its root in pride. In other words, pride is the center thing of Leviathan. And we're going to look at and how this thing got evolved through Satan and over time, and how it has wrecked ministries, marriages, lives, of people walking in pride. All right, let me give you some definitions here. What is Leviathan? God described to Job a sea monster looking creature called Leviathan to reveal to Job Job's problem is pride. There is a strong evil spirit named Leviathan. Leviathan is an evil demonic spirit of pride. And all through the book of Job, chapter 41, it talks about Leviathan. We may get into some of those verses, we may not, but if you want to read more about it, Job chapter 41, the whole chapter. Strong's concordance gives you a definition of Leviathan. He says Leviathan, this coming from the reference in Strong's 3882, if you wanted to look that up. A withered animal, a serpent, a large sea monster. The content suggests some form of aquatic sea monster which dwells in the sea. In scripture, the sea represents a sea of people. So when you think about a sea, just think about a sea of people. And it says that this dragon or this demonic spirit, it's in the sea, and it's actually you know, taking havoc upon the people. And kind of imagine a called sea animal or called demonic spirit that takes its hold and take a grip on you like a serpent or like a squid or something. And what happens when pride gets a hold of you, it doesn't want to let go. It scales wrapped itself around you, and it calls you spiritually. It binds you to the point where you spiritually you're not receiving from God. You're not receiving any revelation knowledge. Your wisdom becomes corrupted, because we'll see how Satan, when he was in heaven, how because of pride it corrupted his wisdom, and Leviathan takes his roots or his beginning in the fall of Satan, and we'll get into that as we get more into the scriptures. The nations of the world are consumed by the dragon or sea monster looking demon. This sea monster is known as or represented as the spirit of pride. This evil demonic spirit of pride manipulates and controls the masses of the world through the spirit of pride. Job 41 and 34 says, "Behold, all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Of all the beasts, he is the proudest. He reigns supreme over the pride of the earth." And that's talking about Leviathan. Another way of stating this is Leviathan looks down on all who are haughty. And I'm going to give you a definition of haughty in a little bit. But Leviathan looks down on all who is haughty. He is a king over all the rulers of those who are proud or have a proud look. Leviathan and pride literally are synonymous. It is hard to separate them because they're one and the same. When you break it on down, it all comes down to it's the pride which is the root of all sin. Pride is the root of all sin. When you break it on down to its lowest terms, pride is really the root of all sin. Many people fall prey to Satan's temptation and get trapped into the sin of pride, which in most cases render them incapable of getting back up again and hinders them from walking in honor, because the spirit of pride is so deeply rooted into their hearts. Leviathan, like a serpent, twists himself around a person's heart, making it become callous and cold and causing them to walk in dishonor. And that's what Leviathan does. It's one of the things it hides behind a lot of other adjectives, and I'm going to get into them a little. And so it makes you think that it's strife. Say if you're walking into strife with somebody, or you're walking into bitterness, you know, after a while, the strife will go away. But what pride will do, it'll keep you now from going to a person and say, "Look, I'm sorry," because pride, you know, pride will keep you from asking for forgiveness or repentance. You know, it may start off as bitterness. It may start off as an argument. It may start off as a lie. But pride will, you know, you may walk away from your ministry or walk away from your church or your pastor. Pride will keep you from wanting to, even though you might want to go back. Pride, because it's got such a grip on you, it locks you. Like, that's why it used that synonym of a sea creature got its hold on you, trying to choke you and drown you in pride to keep you from fulfilling what God has called you to do. And the main thing it keeps you from doing, it keeps you from walking in the spirit of honor. It'll keep you from walking in the spirit of honor. And that's why we need to identify it and deal with it. So we know that pride is, you know, there used to be songs about laying your pride aside. No, we need to destroy it. You just can't lay it aside because it's going to come back. It needs to be destroyed. It needs to be wiped out. Let's move on. Pride will disguise itself in many forms. It will manifest itself by hiding behind these forms so you can't recognize its hold on you. It's like I was saying. Some of these are anger, arrogance, contentment, dishonor, independence, lying, witchcraft, perfection, rebellion, vanity, divination, rejection, bitterness, malice, strife, hard-heartedness. You know, when you have a hard heart, it'll disguise itself as a hard heart. People say, I just got a heart. But pride is the thing that's holding you from receiving that deliverance to where the Spirit is. See, pride, it'll wrap itself on you so much until even when somebody is ministering to you, it just bounces back. Because you're not receiving, you know, and that's why we need to deal with it, because we don't want it to hinder us from walking in the spirit of honor. Bitterness, overinflated ego. People who are prideful have an overinflated ego. They think that I'm it. I'm the person. I'm the man. I'm the woman. I can do all things in myself. Pride, a person who's prideful, They don't have no, they may act like they got dependency in Christ, but their dependency in most cases is in themselves and in their own ability, you know, because pride will Satan, prime example, he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. Okay. Now here he is in heaven leading the praise and worship, the anointed cherub. But now pride, because his heart was lifted up with pride, he wanted to be God. He wanted to be like God. You know, he says, I want to be in the size of the north. I want to be the man, the top dog. You know, and because of that, he was cast out of heaven, you know. And he still has a desire to rule in pride. So when he got to earth, what did he do? Now he deceives. Beguiles Eve and deceives Adam, thinking that if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like who? Like God. You know, Adam and Eve was already made in the very image and in the very likeness of God. They was as much of God as they could already be. But through deceptiveness of pride, you know, the pride of life, making them think that they can be more than what God had already created them. You know, they were deceived, and it threw the whole earth, the whole creation into chaos until Jesus came and restored it back to order, you know. But that's what pride will do. Amen. Let's move on. Let me give you some. Should I go here now? I've seen people, and I kind of talked about it already, who may get an error. Or they may allow bitterness to get in. You know, I'm thinking of people I know over the years. And had genuine calls on their lives. I saw a gentleman just the other day. You know, he and I were close friends, you know, working together here in ministry. But because of bitterness or because of letting strife or envy or jealousy come in, you know, you separate yourself. You know, and even when you go and you talk to them and you try to encourage them, it's like you're talking to a wall and the sound is just bouncing back. Why? Because of pride, you know, and that's what pride will do. Pride won't let you go back. Pride won't let you go back after you made a mistake. It says the wrong thing. If you say the wrong thing, or if you walk in strife towards somebody, it won't let you repent or say I'm sorry or ask for forgiveness because the pride. And that's why the minute you sense any type of pride in your life, it needs to be cast down. It needs to be destroyed because pride can get contagious and it can grow, you know, and it can fester and get bigger. And before you know it, it got you so off in left field, you don't even know how to get back on the right course. Let's move on. The opposite of pride is humility. Jesus was the ultimate example of godly humility. He always acknowledged, "I'll only do what I see my Father do." He said, "Me and my Father are one." But Jesus never did nothing without acknowledging the Father. He said, "Father," when he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, "I thank you that you hear me always." You know, he said, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." You know, he always, you know, because he knew God was his source. And you see, one of the things we have to understand to stay out of pride is to recognize it's not us. You know, we're vessels. Vessels used by God. See, God, the Bible says God, he's the potter, and he shapes and he forms us in perfect imagery, whether it's musically, or whether you might have a singing voice, or whether you might, you know, serve in different capacities, whether it's an usher, or you may serve your pastor or your first lady, you know, but God molded you and he gave you special talents and gifts. And it's so very important that when we operate in those, and it might be a call to ministry where you're before people and you're ministering to God's people. But whatever you do, you want to do it in the spirit of humility. You know, that doesn't mean weakness, as we stated before. That doesn't mean, you know, that you're less fortunate and that, you know, you know, just a little humble, just, mild man. No. Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. We talked about that. But there was no weakness in Moses nowhere. Moses said, "What thus said the Lord." He told Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt. We saw the sea parted, you know. Moses was the man. But his humility came in his obedience to the Father, doing what thus said the Lord. And when you walk in your God-given talents and allow God to grace you in your ability, well, then you walking in humility, you know. And that's so very important. Amen? All right. And we know what Philippians 5 through 11 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus," how he made himself of no reputation and he humbled himself and became a man, you know, and he stooped even further, how he stripped himself of all his royalty, he took his reins and his robe off and he became a man, and he went even further and he got on the cross and died on the cross for our sins. And the Bible says because of this humble act of obedience to his Father, God highly exalted him and had given him a name which is above every name. You know, but that was because he walked in complete and total humility. Jesus is our ultimate example of true total humility. Those who walk in humility will be exalted, but those who walk in pride will be cast down and abased. I'm gonna read that again. Those who walk in humility will be exalted, but those who walk in pride will be cast down and abased. Pride, the Bible says in Proverbs 16 and 18, pride goeth before destruction as a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride goeth before destruction. You know, when you begin to walk in pride, destruction is knocking at your door. When you begin to walk in pride, because you become open prey for the enemy now to put his grip around you. And he comes to do three things: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. All right, this is a key point that you need to know. Pride is now this is a definition of pride. The author in the book, he says it like this. He says, "Pride is a reasonable and justifiable sense of one's self-worth. To the individual who's walking in pride, it is reasonable to them and it is justifiable to them. But to those who are walking in the spirit and they recognize the spirit of pride, pride is unreasonable and is an unjustifiable sense of a person's self-worth or position. Living for self, or having a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem, considering oneself excessively dignified, one who depends on his own abilities and knowledge, a person who lives independently from God and others, is a prideful person. I'll read that one more time because it's not in the book. Pride is an unreasonable and unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self or having a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem, considering oneself excessively dignified, one who depends on his own abilities and knowledge, a person who lives independently from God and others. Pride will make you think, as I stated earlier, that you're the man or you're the woman. You know, I'm it. You know, it'll give you what you think is an ultra ego, you know. And people who walk in pride, they're on an ego trip, okay? That's what it does. But this is what Paul says. Paul says in Romans 3 and 13, Paul says, For I say through the grace that is given unto you, or to all of us, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of strength. You never want to think about yourself more highly than you ought to think. A good friend of mine who really helped me, I'll never forget, he and I, we were going out one day to do prison ministry. And I began to, this was some 15 or so years ago, I began to kind of boast about the things I had been doing and the prisons I had been going to and the people I had been seen being saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the middle of my conversation, he looked at me and he gave me this statement. He says, "You always want to stay small in your own eyes. You always want to stay small in your own eyes." Even though people may pat you on the back and tell you how, you know, how well you're doing and how blessed you are and how anointed you are, but the Bible says, in all things give thanks. And who should receive all the glory? All the glory belongs to God. So whenever somebody praises you, I always say, to God be the glory. You know, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. You know, he is the reason. So, you know, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. Don't, you know, I do a lot of bike riding. And one of the things you got to be careful of, you want to inflate the tire, but you don't want to overinflate it. You see, because it'll blow up, you know. And you see, people who are consumed with pride, they just keep pumping their ego, you know, and their head just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because that's what pride will do. It'll overinflate, make you think you're bigger than what you really are. And then the devil come along with a stick and pop, you know, there you go. Okay, let's talk about arrogance right quick. Arrogance is a feeling or an impression of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or presumptuous claim. It is an attitude of feeling superior or scorning others because of their intellectual level or lack of aptitude or ability, because of their skin color, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt a particular person above another. That's arrogance, when a person is walking in arrogance. Okay, haughty. A person who has a haughty spirit, having or showing an insulting attitude towards people, putting people down because you think that you are better and smarter and are more important than other people. Those who are blatantly and disdainfully proud-minded. That's a haughty person. You're blatantly and you're disdainfully high-minded or have a prideful mind. Amen? Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness, they all run together. They you know that expression, birds of a feather run together? Well, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness run together. All right? God resists arrogance and prideful people. He rejects them because he detests the sin of arrogance. Pride and arrogance are in essence the same in demonic nature, because people who have these attitudes are denying and disobeying the legitimate authority established by God. They do not believe in or submit to divine order. They do not fear God. If Satan was really fearing God, he wouldn't have wanted to exalt his throne above God. You know, that word fear means a reverential fear and respect. People who walk in pride, even though they might be standing with you, on the inside, they're sitting down against you. You know, they might in the natural, in what you might see, they might look like they're standing with you, but spiritually they're rebelling against you. You know, because pride don't want to submit. Pride will not want to submit. It want to be in control. Amen. All right, let's move on. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. This is Proverbs 8 and 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way, the perverse mouth I hate. So this is what God is saying. He said, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and to hate pride and arrogance, and the evil way, perverse mouth I hate. The fear of the Lord, as we know, according to Proverbs 1 and 7, is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But when you walk in pride, you will block yourself from receiving revelation knowledge. How can you receive revelation knowledge if you don't fear God? And the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A prideful person don't walk in reverential fear. You know, so when a person is walking in pride, they're not going to receive revelation knowledge because of no reverence to God, no fear of God. You then start to believe a lie, and you can't even see the truth. When a person walks in pride, they can't even see the truth. They'll believe a lie because, as I stated, and I like the way the author uses the analogy of the sea monster and how it grips. Imagine something just gripping and taking a hold of your spirit, you know, and it's so tightly called around you that nothing can get in. You know, that's what pride will do. It'll grip you, but it'll disguise itself in arrogance, in strife, in haughtiness, in disobedience, you know, and all those things we stated earlier. So you really don't know, you know, you think I'm dealing with one thing, but pride still got you gripped somewhere else. And that's why, you know, it's a deceptiveness. Is a deceptiveness. The devil told Eve that you're not gonna die, but you're gonna be like God, you know, knowing both good and evil. So that was a deception, you know. She already knew good because she was in the Garden of Eden, you know. She already was like God because she was made in His image. You know, that was a deceptiveness, and that's what pride, but you know, that's how pride gets you. It twists you and it turns you around. Always walk in Christ-like humility, not weakness, but meekness, being meek. And we talked about Moses, so we don't even have to go over that. What the Bible says about pride, Proverbs 21 and 4, a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of wickedness is sin. So prideful people have a high look. You know, they're just, you know, I'm it. I'm a high look, a proud heart, and they're always going about to plow evil, you know, plowing up mess, you know, pride, you know, plowing up mess, pride, plowing up wickedness is sin. Proverbs 16 and 5 says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. There are consequences when you walk in pride and expose yourself like that. As we know, what is it? Proverbs 26 and 2 says, the curse causeless shall not come. You know, there are consequences. You know, walking in that spirit of pride won't go unpunished because the Bible says, as we stated earlier, pride goeth before the fall. You know, when a person begins to walk in pride, their demise is knocking at the door. It won't be long. Pray. And I've seen it time and time again in people's lives where they didn't correct some things and it was for their demise. Let's move on. The word abomination means it's a strong dislike, often with disgust or intolerance, extreme disgust, hatred, repugnancy, pride, hate, and excessively offensive. Something that's excessively offensive is an abomination to God. To God, an abominable person is one who believes to be superior to others. They're swallowed up in their own pride. One who boasts about his own achievements. One who attributes more to himself or overly exaggerates about their ability or their skills that they think they possess. One who believes and says he can do better than others, and one who lives for self-gratification. This kind of person is repugnant and repulsive in God's eyes. All right. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. Those three I said run together. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are all defined as the spirit of Leviathan. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel in heaven. We talked about that. So I'm going to kind of skip through some of that because I don't want to overread something. In Proverbs 6, 16 and 17, it says, six things does the Lord hate, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Six things that the Lord hates, you know, and they are an abomination, are repulsive. As we said, you know, when we talked about the definition of what abomination is, you know, the kind of person who is repugnant and repulsive in God's eyesight, you know. And one of those things is, here it says that six things that the Lord hates, and seven is an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Job 40 and 12 says, look on every one that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Pride goeth before the fall. Satan's heart was lifted up with pride because of the spirit of Leviathan. Satan allowed the very thing that God hates, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness, to corrupt him. I'm not going to go into that. Move on. Okay. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed you know, his heart to be lifted up with pride. That's when pride came into existence. Ezekiel 28 and 17, this is what the Amplified Bible says of it. Your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom and the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that they may gaze at you. Now, the King James Bible on that same verse, Ezekiel 28 and 17 says, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Or you can say because of your position, your talent, or your gifting and your ability. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. When you walk in pride, you block yourself from receiving wisdom from God. You block yourself from receiving revelation knowledge because Satan's wisdom was corrupted. You know, people who may have wisdom and walk in wisdom, once they begin to walk in the spirit of pride, that wisdom becomes corrupted because of that chokehold and that grip that's tightening them. They can't see straight. They can't see spiritually straight. Their eyes are, you know, people who are what you call cross-eyed, they can't see straight. You know, because of pride. Pride got them twisted. A prideful and arrogant person is weak and falls into temptation easily. Every time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, he reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan in heaven. Pride, if not checked or dealt with, can become contagious. That's why you don't want to hang around or associate with prideful people because it can come contagious. Give you an example. When Lucifer fell, he took what? 1/3 of the angelic host with him. So they fell in that same pride with him, you know, because he convinced them, you know. Adam and Eve, you know, they got deceived, okay? Moses and Corinth, you know, Corinth said, you know, hey, you know, Moses, you're not the only person who can hear from God. And they started, you know, he started his mess. Well, God told Moses to have Corinth and his company stand on one side and the people that's following Moses and submitted to Moses on the other side. God opened up the ground and swallowed up those people, buried them alive, you know. Miriam and Aaron, you know, they spoke against Moses. You know, that was pride. You know, God, Miriam, even though she was Moses' sister, she, you know, I don't know what happened to her. She said, you know, Moses, you know, God, you ain't the only one that can hear from God. You know, when apostolic authority is established, it's there for our protection, for our peace, and for our liberty. And when we submit to it properly, it's going to bring tremendous blessing and liberty and peace in our lives. But when you reject it and you come against it, you know, that's when, you know, you're basically coming against God, and you don't want to do that. Because God is a God of order, you know. All through Scripture, it talks about how God is a God of order, divine order. And he doesn't do anything haphazardly. And we as children of God need to learn how to walk and to flow in divine order and respect for what God has set up. When God sets up the apostolic, we have to respect it and honor it so that the blessing of God can come on our lives. One of our test questions last week had to do with the fact that one of the worst things or one of the most dishonorable things you can do is to not walk in the revelation or the word that your man of God has taught you, because that's a dishonor. God is pouring something out, but you're not walking in it. You're not taking hold of it, you know, and embracing it. And you always want to do that. Let me move on. The spirit of pride is completely opposite the spirit of honor. Pride shows no respect for authority and is selfish and is arrogant. Believing in individualism, pride does, believes in self-dependency, whereas honor shows respect, submission, and loyalty. Honor walks in one accord and love toward others. Honor has its dependency in God with respect, submits to and walks in God's divine order and authority. A person operating in pride may, as I stated earlier, they may act like they're submitting to you outwardly, but inwardly in their hearts, they're far from submission. They may be standing on the outside, but they're sitting down against you on the inside. And with Satan, you know, in Isaiah 14 and 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did it weaken the nation?" Now listen to what he said. "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did it weaken the kingdoms?" Proverbs 16 and 5 says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." And I read it earlier. "Though they're joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished." Satan was punished because he was cast out because he was proud in heart, and which is an abomination unto God. Those who walk in pride have no fear of the Lord, no reverence toward God. Pride always says, I. Pride is full of selfishness and self-exaggeration. Pride is self-centered, overly confident. Now, it's not a problem to have confidence, You know, when you know that your confidence is in Christ, you know, and his ability, you know, I can do all things through Christ, you know, that's a difference. That's you and have a boldness because, you know, your boldness is in him. You know, but when your boldness is in your own abilities and your own accomplishments, that's when you have a problem and you become overly confident in self and not in God. Are you overly confident in your own abilities? A prideful person has an independent spirit. But this is what honor says. Honor says, in him or in whom, in Christ, I can do all things. In him, I live and I move and I have my being. You know, Christ is the strength of my life. You know, that's what honor says. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. That's what honor says. You know, honor will always give God the glory. Honor will always give those in authority the respect that they deserve. You know, I always want to make sure that I reverence and respect my man of God, my apostle, my pastor. You know, my spiritual father, because I know that if it wasn't for him, I would not be here. You know, I'm here because of the call on his life and because me submitting to him and the call that he has, I hooked up to the vision that God has given him, even though I consider it my vision, but I'm walking in that vision with him, behind him, to undergird and support in that vision, you know. Because God calls a visionary and he will surround the visionary with people to help him to execute that vision, you know. So your church, those who are on the internet, those who hear, other churches, you're there to undergird your man of God. You know, you're there to help him fulfill the vision that God has. I mean, see, that's what honor does. You know, when you walk in honor, you want your man of God blessed. You want them to prosper. You want things to go well with them, because guess what? As the man of God goes, so does the people go. You know, so when they're blessed and they're walking in all that God has for them and they're putting out the goods, well then we can't help but also be blessed. Amen. Let's move on. I'm gonna state this. This was something that happened. It was when I first started teaching the school of ministry under the apostolic government, which was about 5 years ago, and I was asked by the apostle, I want you to be a part of my apostolic team. I was really excited and just I couldn't wait to get involved. And then that first year I started teaching, and it's kind of like, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. You know, I mean, I've ministered before, but this for me at that time was just a different level. And I didn't know in myself, I said, Lord, I don't know if I can make that step. I would leave after class feeling inadequate, that I didn't do the job that I needed to do, you know. And to the point, at one point, I almost wanted to go to the apostle and say, Apostle, I don't think I'm ready for this assignment. But then the Lord started to tell me, says, you know, in your weakness, you're going to be made strong, you know. And then I begin to say, Lord, if the Holy Spirit don't show up in the class, I'm gonna fall flat on my face because I'm leaning completely and totally in his ability. And you see, when you get that attitude, and it's a God ordained attitude because it's recognizing your weaknesses, your insufficiencies. You know, it's good to have insufficiencies because that's when his sufficiency can kick in. Because, you know, you're saying, Lord, I'm stepping out in faith, you know, just like Peter did when he walked on the water. But I'm expecting when I take that next step, you're going to be there to hold me up, you know. So when you're in ministry, there's always going to be that air. Whenever I'm asked to do something, you know, in ministry here, whether it's ministry on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, it's a fear. It's a, you get behind that pulpit, you know, that's not just a regular pulpit. You know, I'm just being honest with you. You know, so Lord, you got to show up, you know. But at the same time, you got to, this is something I learned too, and I'm going to move on. And this is where honor comes in. You got to recognize if you're a man of God, your pastor, you know, who are people in spiritual authority over you, delegate you to do something, you know, this is what God told me. Say, if you're a man of God, thinks enough of you and heard from God and put you in that position where then God is now able to give you everything you need to accomplish. Because you see, you didn't just go, you were sent. That's a difference. Amen. All right. Let me leave that alone. Praise God. All right. Okay. I got a few more minutes and I'm doing pretty good. That's my warning, my 10-minute warning, 5-minute warning. Don't want to go over. All right. The reason many people get so wrapped up with pride is because of its effect, because of the effect of Leviathan's tight call around them spiritually. It inhibits the move of the Holy Spirit. Inhibit means that it hinders and it blocks the move of the Holy Spirit in their lives. They cannot hear or discern the Holy Spirit's voice, and they will never hear the word of the Lord or move in the gifts of the Spirit. They might be moving in some gifts, but it may not be the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? Because I've seen people who were mightily used of God, and then they got involved in pride, and so they expected certain gifts to manifest, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, you know, and they might have been manifesting at one time, but now all of a sudden now they got to give a word, and they hear, you know, there are many voices out there. They hear the wrong voice, and now they're saying things that they ain't of God, you know, misleading, and that's what pride will do. You know, because you ain't got it no more, but you want to got to make people think you still got it. And that's what pride will do. You know, you the man. You can do it. You know, go ahead and say that corrupt and defile word over those people. And that's why, you know, one of the things I don't take words just from anybody. You know, if it ain't my man of God, somebody don't let nobody just speak over you. You know, don't let nobody just put hands on you. You know, the Bible says, lay hands on no man suddenly. You know, don't let nobody, if they're not in spiritual authority over you, they don't need to be speaking into your life. You know, because, you know, I've seen people going to churches and totally tear up a church, one message, because they operating in a different spirit. And, you know, that ain't happening in the apostolic order. So we ain't got to worry about that. But it has happened. But that's why the apostolic is here. So it won't happen anymore. Amen. Leviathan's heart is so hard. It's hard like a stone. It talks about a nettle, or N-E-T-H-E-R, a netter millstone, which is hard. It's cold and it's hard-hearted. That's what Leviathan is. It's compared to like a hard stone, you know. And it also talks about Leviathan being stiff-necked. The word speaks of will. When a person has a stiff neck, they don't want to bend. You know, Leviathan is a person who has a stiff neck, you know, hard-hearted and stiff-necked person. They don't want to bend. That's what the scripture says here in Job 41 and 22. His neck remained at strength, and the sorrow is turned into joy before him. Strength swells in the neck, and the terror dances before him, you know, stiff-necked. A stiff-necked stubbornness are characteristics of the spirit of Leviathan. All right, I got 2 minutes. Humbleness and humility require us to receive revelation. In order to receive revelation, there's got to be humbleness and humility and humility and walking in a true covenant relationship. That's so important. The major problem among Christian leaders, listen to this, and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone who they consider less knowledgeable than they are, or have spent less time in ministry than them. You know, and that's why sometimes it's so hard. And that's what pride will do. It'll cause you not to want to submit to somebody. I'm going to read that again. A major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of, there's a lot of people that should be submitting to the apostle. Yes, a lot of people, yes, in the area, locally, that should be here. You know, they're going all over the world trying to find a father, and there's a father already here. You know, older men and younger men. A major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone whom they consider less knowledgeable or who have served in less time in ministering than them, you know, and that's a problem. And if you experience, that's it. All right. Amen. You guys be blessed, and I'll see you next week.